Psalm 119. Our devotion is entitled Spiritual Preparation for Hard Times, Part 2. Psalm 119 describes the key to a victorious life in the midst of trials and afflictions. This, as we said, is an acrostic psalm with each of the 22 sections of 8 verses beginning with succeeding letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, what does this psalm tell us? Well, it teaches us the blessing of embracing God's word in the believer's life. Why is it that God gives us his word? 66 books, more than 1,000 chapters, more than 1,500 years. Time put together this revelation of his word. God has a word for you. God has a word to speak to you. And he wants you to hear that message. And, you know, it is in his word that we find strength. It is in his word that we find encouragement for life. You see, the words of God is life itself. And this we must understand. When we take hold of God and his word, the Spirit is going to take his word and live in us, give us life. And without that, the spiritual man will become weaker and weaker. And the Lord doesn't want us to live a weak Christian life. In a sense that the Lord wants us to live a life where we enjoy his peace, enjoy his grace, enjoy his presence with us. And that comes when we take time to know the will of God revealed to us in his word, and we receive his blessings as we walk in obedience to God's word. And what was his resolve? What was the psalmist's resolve in this whole psalm? Well, he is resolved to walk in holiness. And he is resolved to put away, to put to death the old man and to live that new life in Christ. And so the psalmist tells us about that, the blessedness of embracing God's word. Because God's word cleanses, God's word counsels, God's word strengthens, God's word establishes God's people. And last week we began the study. We saw how the word of God cleanses the soul. Defilement of sin in the believer's life can be cleansed. You see, when we sin against God, our conscience gives us no peace until we make right with God. And God provided us a way out. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how can we live a life that is filled with peace and joy? Now, I'm not talking about external circumstances. I'm not talking about difficult people that comes in your life. Right? We will encounter difficulties. In fact, the Lord tells us that in this life you will have tribulation. But God will give you the wisdom to overcome. God will give you the strength to endure. God will give you the strength to have victory. See, and the Lord wants us to live that kind of a life. And where can we find that strength, that power to live that life? Right, we said 2 weeks ago when we begin this psalm that it is in the believer's quiet time, private devotion time, set aside, set apart for the purpose of creating, cultivating a rich spiritual life. Do you have that appointment with God? Do you cherish, do you relish that appointment with God? Only when we have that vibrant relationship, you'll find that you have that strength, you know, to go through the day and to be able to enjoy it, you see. So the elements of private worship are prayer, the reading and meditation of God's word, the singing of hymns. And the psalmist considers God's word as true riches. That's why he takes time to read it. It is as gold to him. And God's word is not only able to cleanse, he tells us in the first 16 verses, that he also tells us that God's word provides counsel, provides instruction for us. Okay? And when our spiritual eyes are open to see the truth of God's word, then the Lord shows us how we can order our life rightly before him. There is a way that the Lord has set for us to walk. And when we walk therein, you would enjoy life with God. So we speak about the cleansing power, the counseling power. And today we want to touch on the strengthening power of God from verses 25 to 32. And you would notice that all the 8 verses begin with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the word daleth. Okay, and we have placed for you the word, the first word in bold, okay, in the 8 verses. That's in your notes, you can see it. Right? So the word cleaveth is the first word that appears there. Right? And it begins with that letter, the letter daleth. In the Hebrew alphabet. And the word ways, right, is repeated many times. My ways, the way of thy precepts, the way of lying, the way of truth, the way of thy commandments. So you see that this, how can we be strengthened in our life? It is by knowing the way in which we are to live our life, the way in which God would want us to live. And so that you see as the is the emphasis, right? And you see also several verbs that is used. The word cleaveth is the same word that in verse 31 he says, "I've stuck unto thy testimonies." You know, he says that I glue myself to the word of God so that it will not depart from me. We are as one, okay? And he tells us that there is a right way through the counsel of God's word in which we live. And that way is not necessary our way. Okay? That way is not necessary the way we think we ought to go. And it takes time for us to decipher and understand what God has for us, you see. So the proverb said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. We think that is the correct way to go. And we walk and we move that way. And he sought, the psalmist says, the way of life according to God's word, rather than according to the way of death, according to his own wisdom. So he says, my soul, verse 25, cleaveth unto dust. Quicken, the word quicken means revive, and liven thou me according to thy word. May thy word give me life. Give me strength to live. So in times of affliction, God's word gives new life, makes a way for him. And the psalmist sought the Lord in earnest prayer, you see. He sought the right way for himself. Do you do that? So he says in verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou hast heard me. Teach me thy statutes. He says, I'm bringing my predicament before you. I'm bringing my situation before you in prayer. And he desires to understand God's will for his life and to walk therein. And he knows that his prayer has been heard. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. You see, when we pray and seek the Lord in our enigma, in those times when we don't know what to do, you'll find that God don't leave you, you know, without help. But God always comes to you to illumine and strengthen you. Okay? So, what was his desire? He desires to understand God's will for his life. So he says, make me, verse 27, to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Let me know how I ought to live, how I ought to go. And he says in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. He says that, you know, my soul is so heavy. The word melteth means to drip, to drop. He was in grief and he's weeping. Do you cry out to God in your distress? I believe we all do. Those times when, you know, you are in a dire straits. Perhaps because of sickness, because of some unusual circumstances that come in your life, and you cannot understand, and you are so perplexed, and you cry out to God. Your heart is heavy, your heart is grieved, and you ask God to show you the way. And the Lord doth show us every impasse in life, a way out. And God's word has the answer to strengthen the frail hearted. Our problems will not weigh us down so much so that we won't find an answer. And here, you see, as he seeks a way out for himself with the Lord, he also tells the Lord right, that he must seek the honest way. Not the way of lying. He's able to see that, you know, perhaps there's a way out. A crooked way. Ah. Then he says, but it's unprofitable for my soul. And danger for my well-being. So, you see, the man who is filled or enlightened by God, who has the Spirit of God in him, is able to discern and understand spiritual truth, spiritual things, you know, and it's a moral person, meaning that right and wrong, truth and error, he's able to see because the Spirit of God will help him. So there was this article that was placed in the Moody Monthly, and this is a very interesting story. George Sweeting is a writer. He wrote about the desperate need for honesty in our culture, he says. And he refers to Dr. Madison Sarat, who taught mathematics at Vanderbilt University for many years. And he says, before giving a test, the professor would admonish his class something like this. He says, today, I'm giving two examinations, one in trigonometry and the other in honesty. I hope you will pass them both. If you must fail one, fail trigonometry. There are many good people in the world who can't pass trig. But there are no good people in the world who cannot pass the examination of honesty. The psalmist pleads that God will create in him a clean heart. And you would find that God, by his Spirit, when he, you know, places his words in us, when he places his nature in us, we would be very uncomfortable with a dishonest life. We want to live our life right, straight before God. Right? And so, he says, give me a heart of honesty and integrity, exemplifying the character of my God. Right? The promises of God are always yea and amen. And when we walk honestly, we walk surely. Okay. During our adult Sunday school, we were speaking about that. We said that if you are a hawker and you make noodles, you want to make sure that your noodles for $3 worth or $3.50 worth is a $3, $3.50 worth of noodle, you know. You give them good ingredients, the best that you can give. Don't give less. It's okay to give more. Well, that's the teaching from the Bible. Will you not prosper selling that kind of noodle? Of course you'll prosper. Everyone would buy from you because they know that they get a $3.50 worth of good noodles when they come to you to buy. And so the Lord wants us to have that kind of a wisdom, you see. He doesn't want us to, you know, sell a plate of noodles and, you know, for $3.50, you ask the people to pay and then you give them $2 worth. Right? They look at it and they say, not worth it. I won't come back again. And so, he sees that there is a tendency to get unlawful gain by cheating. That's the old man. He says, no, I don't want that. I want to gain by my honest labor. I want to live a life of purity and integrity. So he says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, verse 31, put me not to shame. He says that I'm determined to this live this life of honesty before you. I know I have to spend more on the ingredients, right? And if I make my calculation, my margin is going to be less. So how can less be more? You would see that less can be more. It's God's formula. Okay. And more is less. It's the way of lying. And so the Lord wants us to understand, you know, how we can do a good business and prosper in our business. And so he says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I run the way of thy commandments. God's word is able to strengthen the downcast soul. And it, you know, if we choose to hold on to his word, we choose to walk in it, we would be strengthened. We will not only walk, right, but we can run and not be weary. The way of righteousness, the way of God. This morning we were studying the account of the aftermath of Moses' initial encounter with Pharaoh. God asked Moses to go and see Pharaoh. And not only will Pharaoh not let his people go, but he increased their bondage. The people of Israel murmured. They screamed in pain and even cursed and questioned the power of Moses' master. And Moses was discouraged. He came to the Lord. And as we saw in Exodus chapter 6 this morning, verses 1 to 13, and we said that Moses had his quiet time. Okay? Exodus 6, 1 to 13 is Moses' quiet time. Okay? And in his devotion, God assured Moses of his promises. And God renewed the faith of his servant. You see, you want to live a life that is right in the sight of God. You don't want to cut corners. You want to live right in the sight of God. It takes faith, you know. It takes faith to make sure to you know, give your bushel full, shaken, and let it overflow. Right? Because you are giving more than you are giving more than it's worth. Right? The Lord reassured Moses that Israel will be delivered by his strong hand out of Egypt. And he speaks of himself as almighty. He speaks of himself as a faithful father to his children. And he reiterated his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reminded Moses again. You see, sometimes when we are discouraged, when we are downcast, we need to go back to God and his testimonies. And, you know, God went from the beginning, you know, of what he did for the people of Israel when he called Abraham, the first Hebrew, out of Ur of the Chaldees. God had to rehearse with him what he had done, the promises that he had made to them, so that he will not forget. This will be the outcome. Because when he saw the raging sea, as Peter would put it, right, he became afraid and he began to sink. Right? Until he called upon the Lord and the Lord extended his hand to pull him and says, why did you doubt, O ye men of little faith. See, so living this life with God requires faith. Faith to take hold of the commandments of God, take hold of the precepts of God to live. See, but you are in a world that is totally opposed to God. And when you look at them, when you see their faces, when you see they are threatening, you will feel weak. But the God that is in you, who gave His promises, surely will stand for you to fulfill His promises. And so, Moses, he was the writer of the book of Genesis. He recounted the power of God in protecting and prospering His servants as they fulfilled His will. Will God not help His people, His servants, as they walk with Him? God never fails any one of them. God has always been with them. That's why the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Okay? Twice the Lord said, and the Lord says, and I will do these things for you. And seven times He said it. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded, I am with you. I will help you. I will do all this for you. What did God said to Moses? Exodus 6:6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you for a people. I will be to you a God. I will bring you unto a land. I will give it you for an heritage. Sometimes we get so bogged down, you know, with our journey, that, you know, it seems so rough. It seems so tough. Then we lose sight of the end. And we lose sight of the beginning. What the Lord had done for us. What the Lord had said to us. Right? So, we need to be reminded. And God, you know, would want us, right, to be strengthened in the faith. And how can we be? Well, be strengthened by His word. When we go back to God and we take hold of His promises again. That was what happened in Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Moses went to God. In his devotion, in his quiet time, and God spoke to him to assure him. So, don't begin your day without beginning with God. Without having that assurance that God is with you. And He provides for you His needful nourishment for you to tackle the day's work. He strengthened you with the day's energy and wisdom for the day's work. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of a strength. And He tells us that he sought the Lord to know the way. The strengthening power of God's word. We see verse 25 to 32. And then the establishing power of God's word. Verse 33 to 40. Okay, now a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the words are highlighted for you. Okay, the eight verses in bold. So the first word is teach. Give me understanding. Make me to go, or lead me. Lead me in the path. Incline my heart. Take away my eyes from beholding vanity. Establish or set or build thy word unto thy servant. Turn away my reproach. He says, and behold. He says, I longed for your way. And so, what is he doing here in this 8 verses from verse 33 to 40? It is a prayer. He was asking God to teach him his ways and let him have understanding so that he would choose to walk the godly way as opposed to the vain and covetous way. He shall be established because his fear is in the Lord. He knows that he needs to follow the Lord. And, you know, his prayer is this: Lord, make me a stable and mature man of God. Take away the instability in me. Take away the immaturity in me. I know in certain ways I have not been reliable. I have not been showing myself mature. And, you know, we need to ask the Lord to show us what we ought to do. How we can order our family rightly. How we can do our work honorably. Help me to grow to maturity that I may be a blessing to others. That you can be an encouragement to others. That you can be a blessing. A help. And his plea comes with 7 imperatives. Okay? Teach, give, make, turn away, establish, turn away. He says, turn me away from those things which are no good. You see, these are words of what? Surrender. These are words of submission. And this would culminate in God's supply and sustenance. Okay. So he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. How we need to be taught. Give me a teachable heart. Right? One that is willing to listen to the voice of God and to obey it. And he's determined to keep all of God's way that is taught to him. One of the greatest wonders of the present day has been the marvelous manner in which Helen Keller, the blind deaf girl, has been rendered able to take her place in classes in Radcliffe College at Harvard University and to win a distinguished place for scholarship. This had been possible only through the faithful ministrations of her teacher, Miss Sullivan. The letter found her as a little girl, utterly unable to comprehend the life about her and only able to make the crudest communications by signs to her family. The teacher, by patient persistence, using all sorts of objects with infinite pains, taught the little girl the sign language by touch, and once communication with the outside world was established, education proceeded. Painstaking, not easy, but she succeeded. God, our God, teaches us that we may conform to his image through life. And you see, when you embrace God's word in your life, you will experience how he delivers you, how he comforts you, how he loves you. When you go out of the way, he chastens you, how he molds you, how he helps you, how he upholds you. Verses 41 to 96. When you embrace God's word in your life, you know, God, you're going to see the hand of God working. That invisible God is going to be very real to you. Because you are sensitive to the will of God. You take time to pray, you take time to seek the word of God. Your devotion time is important time. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding, he says. Give me discretion. Give me reason. Give me skillfulness. Give me wisdom to know the mind of God, to model my life after him. And this is a wholehearted devotion that the Lord, that the psalmist gives to the Lord. You see that, you know, in his devotion to God, it's not half-hearted, you know. I just came to visit a brother in a hospital. And you can see that he's always praying and seeking God and, you know, seeking and seeking and seeking and asking and seeking again. Does God not bless such a man? I said, God surely bless such a man. Externally, when you look, there is nothing good that you can talk about. But spiritually, this is what matters, you know. The word of God says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. God wants us to live that kind of a life in the light. The purity of God in your life. Joshua chapter 14 describes how Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And the late pastor Adrian Rogers, he observed very well. He says, every ounce of Caleb was given to the Lord. This is the kind of heart you and I should have if we call ourselves Christian. The devil is going to intimidate a faint-hearted man, and there is only one way to stand against the devil, and that is to give everything to Jesus Christ. Indeed, God does not accept half-hearted religion. It would be better for you to say there is no God than for you to say he doesn't mean that much to me, or he doesn't make a difference in your life, or he doesn't stir your heart to love him. So I'm rebuked by the brother who seek God and love God and prays to God incessantly. How we need to love God. How we need to serve him with the whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Lead me. Right? We begin with faith, and we find understanding of God's will, and we seek to happily walk in the way that he has made for us. And you will notice that walking with God is a happy journey, you know. Because he do us no harm as we walk in his will. Okay? The proverb says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You know God's will, then you walk in it. Right? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Do you have many desires that is not met? Well, here the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord. Seek the Lord. You will be contented. You will be filled. Your desires will be fulfilled. So good, isn't it? He says, my meditation shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And Isaiah says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Well, prepare yourself for worship. You know, on Sunday when you come, you prepare your heart for worship. You prepare yourself bodily, you know. How you dress yourself, how you clean yourself, how you prepare yourself to come before God to worship Him. It all speaks a lot about, you know, the worship that you have. It's not man-centered. It's God-centered. Having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. So you see that as he prays, as he seeks to God to establish his heart, he knows, he sees that there are certain things that will pull us apart from God. Right? And he says, covetousness. The sin of inordinate gain. Right? You want to have something which you won't work for. Inordinate gain. Covetousness. I want to buy 4D, so I will hit the lottery and I don't need to work. Right? The covetous heart. See, I don't need to work hard, then I will get my salary at the end of the day. No. Don't have that kind of a heart. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Give me a willing heart to labor. Help me to be diligent. And you will find that there is a tug of war inside us, the flesh and the spirit warring inside us. On the one hand, you want to walk the way of God, but on the other hand, you know, the flesh seems to be pulling you down. And this will be the spiritual battle that you have to overcome and win. You see? I say then, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why God gave Moses his quiet time in Exodus 6, after he suffered a setback. You know, when you are going through life, and life is tough, you don't seem to have a way out. No. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Seek His presence. Seek His wisdom. Right. We choose to walk with God. We yield in obedience to God's word. We will save ourselves from many sorrows. The flesh lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh. Against the flesh. The snare of pursuing after money, power, position results in many sorrows. It doesn't pay. The psalmist sought God's mercy to preserve his spirit. He asked God, God, help me. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Not easy, but God provides the way. As we yield to the Spirit, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, from covetousness. Now he talked about vanity. He asked the Lord to rid him of these vices So you see that he's going through a process of what? Self-examination in the spirit, right? Where the spirit exposes his hypocrisy and he repents and he turns away from his sins and he finds forgiveness and directions again. And that's what we must do for ourselves. Establish, verse 38, thy servant, thy word unto thy servant. Set it in my heart, who is devoted to thy fear. He asked the Lord to set his fear in his heart, so that he may know the dreadful judgment of God's wrath on sin, and flee from every danger to yield to temptation, so that we may come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And what is understanding? To depart from evil. That is understanding. Job 28:28. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. The transgression of the wicked saith within their heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's very scary. No fear of God. No fear. No authority before them. Very scary. We must not live like that. Right? The secret is to establish a spiritual life with God in worship. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and he shall judge the world with his truth. The God-fearer escapes the wrath to come. The psalmist says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord wants us to be established. Means that the Lord wants us to be mature in our faith. The Lord wants us to be stable in our walk, in our relationships. Well, many roles we play as a parent to our children. Well, they want to see the stability of the father, stability of the mother. As an employer, an employee in the company. How can we be a contributor? How can we be an asset? How can we be a value add? The Lord wants us, right, to be a blessing to the people around us. And how can we be? Well, except we be still before God, to know his will, to do his commandments, not only to walk in it, he says to run his commandments, to run, right? Meaning that, you know, you have it so well ingrained within you, yeah, that your life is no longer a walk but a run. You can run and you can accomplish more. And the Lord wants, you know, time is short. Life is to be redeemed. Time is to be redeemed. Let us use it wisely. Let us use it truthfully, profitably. Right? For there is only one time we are going to live this life. Let us live this, you know, to the fullest. So that, you know, at the end of life, we said no regrets. No regrets. No regrets. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for showing us how thy word has that powerful ability to stabilize our life.
how thy word has the ability to strengthen our hearts, show us the way we ought to go. Lord, help us to be willing to take time to be with thee. Search our hearts, Lord. If there be any wicked way in us, lead us to the way everlasting. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.